Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, our topic is the resurrection voice of Jesus. This topic was particularly chosen, again, because of the time in which we live. Words are used today in a very decisive and manipulative manner. Indeed, today the manner in which words are used, one finds that they are filled with subterfuge and very deceptive content. Words are used to dissuade and to lead persons into beliefs that are very subtle and destructive. We can not deny the nature of the times in which we live. And so we present a radical alternative and to the present milieu, and that is the Word of God. Word of God, not watered down by certain techniques or approaches to looking at the human condition that are based upon probably very brilliant observations from human viewpoint. Indeed, these observations can go a long way in helping us to understand empirically what is observed about the human condition. But inevitably, there is an aspect that is cannot be left out, and that is the viewpoint as presented of the human condition from the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes that we were dead in trespasses and sin. And note, Paul states that we were, past tense, we were dead in trespasses and sin. So there, Paul is delineating and a state or a way of being, the negative ontology that characterizes us and that displayed itself through behavior that was, again, destructive. The Bible presents a very different message upon close inspection. It is a message that says that in this radical manner, God has come in order to give life to humanity. And God has not taken up any human point. God has not cataloged and said, what sin is worse than another? God has said that we were dead in trespasses and sin. So what I want to show you this morning from the scriptures is the divine answer to the human condition, as presented in John's Gospel in chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father hath raised up the dead, and hath quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Huios, or to the Son, speaking of the Eisus, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Very titanic, very powerful, and wonderful verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, or the nekroi, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Let me say at this point that verses 21 through 26 in this passage refer to a spiritual resurrection, an ethical spiritual resurrection. It has to do with a movement or the hiatus between death and life. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. The Greek word for voice is phone, P-H-O-N-E, phone. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Now here he speaks of physical bodily resurrection as is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15 and also at the end of the book of Daniel. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And there are many other passages throughout the Word of God that speaks of physical bodily resurrection. But here our emphasis is on is the resurrection that the Son inaugurates in the soul of those who hear his word, beginning in verse 24. And in the Greek it reads, Amen, Amen. And we transliterate these two words as verily, verily, which mean, and these two words together mean a solemn declaration. They are a solemn declaration that is worthy of note. And so the writer John is drawing attention to the words of Jesus that must be noted because of the content of what is being communicated. Amen, amen, I say unto you that, and now haughty in the Greek introduced a purpose clause, that the word of me, akouson, that is, he that heareth my word. And in the Greek New Testament, this word akouo or akouon means to hear with a view to obeying, to hear with a view to obeying what is heard or what one hears. And so when it comes to the Word of God, to hear with a view to obeying His Word is very powerful and becomes a very powerful reality in the life of the individual. Because we read in the Word of God that the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so to accommodate the word of the Jesus brings one into this new estate called life. The writer goes on, "He that heareth my word and believeth," pistuo is a present active participle, pistuon, and we say believeth or believe. Believe on him. That is, believe on the person of the Jesus. To believe his word, to believe who he is, as presented in the scripture. To understand that he is God's word. And we read this in John chapter 1. He is the Logos, which is a word that means both speech and reason. He is the Logos who tented among us, or who became flesh. Or in the Greek it reads, to pitch a tent. And it is a reference or a picture of his humanity. So he therefore became the Theanthropos, the God-man, the representative one, the ideal man, the second Adam, who also saves the first Adam from the event that happened in the garden in Genesis 3, the event of disobedience. So the second Adam is the Redeemer. He is the one who brings life to lifeless humanity. He is the one who gives God's gift to all. Now, once again, verse 24, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," that is the Pater or the Father, "hath eternal life." Now, some Bibles read everlasting life, which means at a point in time one has or acquires life and then it goes on indefinitely. But eternal life is used in the Greek New Testament, and it is a word that means a life characterized by qualitative richness. It is filled both with content. Eternity, or eternal life, has nothing to do with time. In fact, it is minus time. It is eternal. Everlasting life, or that which has existence in time, is swallowed up by eternity. It's also interesting to note that the Old Testament does not have a word for eternity. The Hebrews were not a people who came into contact with the abstract language of the Greeks. Because for the Hebrews, life was not abstract. And so they used a word referred to what we call eternity, F. And it means that which goes on, that which recedes into dimness. And so their minds did not go beyond that picture. Their understanding of time is given in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Time events were related to the events of life. And so it's a very interesting and profound view of time. However, the writer here states that this one that believes on the Father, or those who believe on the Father, have eternal life. Again, this refers to, this is a qualitative word, and it refers to that which is minus time, and so the life of God, as it were, the life that characterizes God, is eternal. So what he is presenting here is something that is radically different from the experience of person. Our lives and the genetic blueprint in which each of us have is characterized by death. And we haven't found a death gene, as it were, or chromosomes that mark death, but we know that who we are and what we are as human beings, there is a time, there's a chronos built into our genetic blueprint, so that we grow up, we reach maturity, and there is the gradual disintegration of the human body. So that is the human experience. And if one is wealthy or if one is poor, death does not discriminate. And it is very interesting that even though all men die and all persons die, yet still in life we have this belief that that we can create cultures and societies that are based on tiered or class struggle. And we want to see persons fight it out, as it were, and so that we can somehow understand that or feel that we have one up on the other individual, when at the beginning and the end, it is the same. What has made a vital difference in that viewpoint is what God has come to say. And what the voice of the Iesus has come to elucidate about the human condition, that death does not have to be, one does not have to be born, reach maturity, and then begin the step toward death. God has come to offer eternal life, to offer a hope beyond the grave, as it were. But the experience of eternal life becomes a present tense reality. And the scripture tells us that this one who receives the voice and the believes on the one Cynthia speaks, this one moves into a new realm. I want you to see what the writer states, what the Iesus states. They shall not come into condemnation. That is, that word means judgment, of course, but is passed from death unto life. And so this word means in the Greek text that there is a decisive change or place or condition that occurs in the life of the individual when he or she believes on the Iesus. This decisive change now is determinative of the new destiny and a new identity. So God does this. God gives this life. And God provides this life. But is passed from death unto life. That, and the word death there, of course, is thanatos, and has a possessive genitive ending. It is spelled T-H-A-N-A-T-O-U, the O-U in Greek is a possessive genitive. That is, one does not or is no longer possessed by death. One is no longer the possession of death. And so the very words and the prefixes, the suffixes, the case endings in the Greek are telling to us. They are filled with theology that we need to understand in order that we might grow up in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our souls are edified as our souls feed on the Word, and not wonderful sounding poetry that can be very beautiful and very inspiring and may uplift. But when I can no longer recite a poet or his poem or think about the particular poet or his writing, the living Word of God sustains me when I am in deep pain and sorrow, and I can no longer, when I may not feel like reading of the Word of God, the Word of God has moved into my heart and blessed me and places me in a state or condition where I can meditate in my heart, because these are living words that are designed to sustain the weary or those who are victimized by self-torture. This is what God has come to provide, a sustaining word for the afflicted one, to give a brand new life to those who hear his voice and who make that transition from death to life. They are no longer the possession of thanatos or death. They are no longer called the nekroi, or the dead one, and which is a plural adjective. And notice that the designation nekroi also points out a radical non-being to the point where one is merely recognized as an adjective and not even as a personal noun. And so one moves out from that state to believing the word of the Iesus, that is, hearing his voice. See, this is another reason why he is called the great physician, because he not only heals those who find themselves in extremis or at the point of death, or who find themselves under a whip, or like the woman who had the issue of blood for 18 years. In the Greek, it literally reads that she was under a whip. That condition had whipped her, had afflicted her, had torn her soul asunder. But then she went and met the Iesus, and he said unto her, "Thy faith hath saved thee." And when the little girl died, the daughter of Jairus, Jesus told the grieving family that She is not dead, but asleep. And those who heard his words began to laugh at the scorn we read. But then in the Greek, it tells us that Jesus took a few of his disciples and the parents to the room where the little girl lay. And in the Greek, it reads that he took them on a journey. What a journey. To have this belief going on in one's heart that a beloved child has met the end. But the Jesus says it is not the end. You may have reached a level of understanding beyond which you cannot go. But I, on the other hand, have pierced that veil beyond which you cannot go, and I know something more. And I have a blessing prepared for you that you cannot believe. And so he takes the parents into the room, and he utters these wonderful and beautiful words to the little girl. He speaks to her, not at her. He speaks to her. His bedside manner is exquisite. She is personal. She is personality who is addressed in a wonderful manner. Says, little one, arise. And she sat up immediately. Those words are not just from a beautiful narrative. We say story. The events that he performed all were pregnant with purpose for us. Therefore, we meditate on the written word of God that enlivens or vivifies our spirit. See, the Son quickeneth whom he wills, that is, he vivifies or gives life to. To be dismissive of the words of the Iesus, to truncate or to not allow oneself to really hear the Iesus has a heavy price or carries with it a heavy price. See, his words are the words of life. He provides salvation without money, without price. One is not on a time clock. One can go for the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. But one must go there and one must believe on the Jesus. One must understand that when one has received him, death to life, and the life that the individual receives is God's own eternal life. Then there is a vital connection with God for the rest of eternity. There is no pantheistic absorption into the void or the extinction of one does not go into non-being. One does not have to go to different stages of reincarnation in order to reach the apex of life. He gives life. He is life. One enjoys or continues to enjoy one's personal identity because of the Son of God. My name is Josiah Ridge. I am your host. I will meet with you next time on Dramaticos, and we will continue this topic. Have a wonderful day.